Well, good morning. You said you want to live close to Jesus each day. I'm going to propose how to do that as we go through this lesson. In fact, at the end of this lesson, I've been contemplating for some time, and I'm going to try to implement it in the next few weeks, perhaps. I want to start a club. I'd like anybody here to join my club. I'm going to call it the 3M Club. How many would like to join? Okay, we'll see at the end of our lesson. I'll give you another opportunity in a minute. In John chapter 15, very interesting passages here I'd like for you to consider with me this morning. And it gets us into my club in just a few moments. What I'd like for you to consider with me in mind is we read the text. Let's just read the verse together. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Does that not intrigue you? Especially the second part of that verse. When it says, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. If that's not a tremendous promise that is at our disposal, I have within my hand the ability to ask God anything, and it shall be done for you. You might be saying, whoa, preacher, anything, anything. I'm going to show you in several passages how he says it in different ways, but it all comes out the same. But you think for a moment about what you've got at your disposal. You will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Tonight we have a shortened service, and I'm going to preach that text. The last part of verse 7. This morning, though, I need to show you the condition upon which that is made. I like to read this in a different text or a different Bible, a different translation. I got off my shelf a couple of the kind of the way out translations, the ones that are not usually read by most of anybody. But Bible in Basic English is a interesting little translation. And this passage says this. If you are in me at all times and my words are in you, then anything for which you make a request will be done for you. I think that says it well, actually. If you are in me at all times and my words are in you, anything. The 20th century New Testament says, if you remain united to me and my teaching remains in your hearts, ask whatever you wish. It'll be yours. Isn't that an intriguing passage? What Jesus is here describing to his apostles is nothing more than our greatest need. It's my greatest need for sure. And I think it's yours as well. In John the 17th chapter, I believe, describes that great need. And I think John 15 prefaced to get there. Jesus is really saying, it's the same sermon, start in chapter 13 and go all the way through 17. Jesus, it's the same audience, the same group of men he's preaching, the longest sermon of his life. Far longer than the Sermon on the Mount. But if you look at it, he says in chapter 17, verse 3, after he finished kind of his sermon, he breaks out in prayer. And this prayer now says this. This is the true Lord's Prayer. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. What John 15, verse 7 says, and what John 17, verse 3 tells us, is really one and the same. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true and living God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. All of us have a a need. And a lot of times we don't even know that scratch is there, that itch is there to scratch. We know it's there, but we don't know how to go about it. We don't know how to find this missing link in our life. Our greatest need, I believe, is there's a lot of things out there that we need, but the greatest of these is to know God, to desire God, to diligently seek God, to find God, and to be one with Him. And John 17, verse 3 tells us, this is eternal life. Here is the ultimate quest for us all, to live beyond this world forever and ever. And it's very doable. It's very reachable. It's simply knowing God and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. And John 15, verse 7 tells us, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, that tells me what I need to know about what I need to be seeking in my life. Too often, I have lived my life in the peripheral. I've seen the things around me, and I've pursued those things instead of seeking the one true and living thing that will make a difference forever and ever. Knowing God and Jesus Christ and abiding in Jesus Christ. Now look at that again. Look carefully and look closely at it. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you. I want you to note something, and here's our text for this morning. If you abide in Me makes it conditional. The reward that we get at the bottom of that verse is unbelievable almost. It's just unbelievable to think that whatever I ask, it will be given to me. And yet the condition is, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask what you will. In other words, then and only then, ask what you will. There's an if-then setup here. The then is the reward. The if is the condition. And God is saying to me, and Jesus is telling me, I will give you whatever you want, Rick. I will give you anything that you need. Condition is, you have to abide in Me. You have to know Me. And that means you have to know My words. You've got to live in Me, and I have to live in you. We've got to be so intimately involved in each other's lives. You've got to know Me so well as I know you so well. Then and only then, I will know what to ask so that it will be given to me. You see the connection? A lot of things I don't know what to ask for. I ask arbitrarily. I ask without being able to see the vision of God for my life. And I ask for things that sometimes I need not be asking for. But by abiding in Jesus Christ and abiding in His Word, I will then have my finger on the pulse of God, and I will know the things to ask for. Let's go back and look at it in chapter 15, verse 4. Read down with me just for a few verses and see this marvelous text that leads to this marvelous reward for our lives. He says in verse 4, abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me. There's something there in that text that ought to get your juices flowing. The idea that he says, you abide in Me and I will abide in you. Now what does that mean? How is it that we're going to abide in Jesus Christ? Well, he gives us a metaphor here. He gives us an illustration. He says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. A branch is just a branch. It can't bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. The branch is connected to something. It's got to go to the stalk. It goes to the roots. There's something that eventually produces the branch. that then bears the fruit. But the branch by itself, if you break the branch off and just hold it there, it'll never produce anything, and we know that. It's dead. But if it's connected to the vine, then the vine will bring forth the fruit. It brings the nourishment, the nutrients, and the things that it needs in order to produce the grapes or whatever the fruit might be. When I think about my relationship to Jesus Christ, so often I am a broken branch. I'm cut off from the vine, and therefore I'm not bearing fruit. If you're not bearing fruit for Jesus Christ this morning, you have no access to the reward of asking what you will, and it will be given to you. Surely you want that, don't you? We all want to be able just to turn our approach to God, come boldly before the throne of grace, asking for mercy and grace in our times of need, while all it's done. We've got to have that. We must have that. And yet, it can't be unless I'm abiding in the branch or in the vine. I am the branch, and I've got to be connected to that vine so intimately that it's flowing. And if there's anything that's cutting off circulation, cutting off the flow, then I'm not going to bear fruit or much fruit. So what is your connection to Jesus Christ right now? I want you to see where I'm going with this about abiding in Christ, abiding in His words. In verse 5, it goes on to say, I am the vine, Jesus is saying. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. He who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit. And without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. We'll never bear any fruit. My job and your job as disciples of Jesus Christ is to bear fruit. That's why we are disciples of Christ. That fruit is found throughout the Scriptures. There's different kinds of fruit, but ultimately it all is for the glory of God. God is looking for us to fulfill our purpose, our place, our mission in this world. God has a plan and a purpose and a mission for each and every one of us. Yours might be a little bit different than mine as far as what your talents might be and what God would expect of those talents. But whatever that might be, my job is to use the talents that God has given to me all to His glory to bear fruit for Him. That's what discipleship is. It's a fruit-bearing group. And my job is to then to be so connected to Jesus Christ and to make sure nothing is stopping the flow, nothing is disconnected, nothing is broken off, that I have a full connection to the vine, that I will bear much fruit, that God will use my talents and He will multiply them, be there 1 to 2, 2 to 4, 5 to 10 in the parable of the talents. But I will give glory to God. But without Him, my friend, if I don't abide in Him, I can do nothing. Then verse 7 brings us to the point of our lesson. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. It keeps talking in the previous verses, just abiding in Him. Abiding in Jesus Christ, He abides in me. And now the verse 7 brings out the point. And my words abide in you. Though the other verse just simply said, He abides in me. But now he says, no, my words must abide in you. Then and only then will you bear fruit. And then he goes on down and talks a little bit more about that in verses 9 and 10. We'll get there in a second. But I want you just to stop and pause before we get to verse 9 and look at this with me. Letting Jesus' words abide in me and letting Jesus abide in me are one and the same. How about you? How well do you know the words of Jesus Christ? Most of you could probably quote John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world, fill in the blank. But how many more words of Jesus Christ do you know? What have you memorized from the words of Jesus Christ? Can you turn and can you put your finger on passages of Scripture that tell you the things that need to be done in your life so that you might abide in Him? Can you quote your master? Translation, are you a disciple? Am I a disciple of Jesus Christ? A disciple of Jesus, a disciple of any great teacher in the old days, were ones who simply, they didn't have access to books and things, so they sat and listened to the words, the lectures, the sermons. They watched the life. And you could ask any true disciple of the master, and they could tell you. How do you think Muhammad's words got translated and put into a Quran? They didn't write a lot of those down. They were orally transmitted for several generations before the Quran was actually written. Did you know that? Oral translation is, in other words, they could verbatim quote him for several generations before the Quran was actually put to print. The same thing is true in the writings of Jesus Christ. The apostles didn't sit there and take dictation while Jesus was walking and talking among them. They listened to him, and they didn't remember it all, so Jesus said to them, "When I go away, I will send the Comforter, and he will bring to your remembrance all things that I said unto you. He will tell you, and then you will write." But they remembered many of the things that Jesus said. But letting Jesus' words abide in you means all of this. It means I want to saturate my mind with all of his views. My views become his views. Just like Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done, Father." So it is with me to abide like he abides in the Father. I want to abide in the Son. And I abide in him when I listen to his views and I make them mine. When I hear his commands and I obey each and every one. When I see his promises and I seek them and seize them. And I abide in him in all of those things. That's abiding. That means you become an intimate part of that. In verse 9 of that same opening, it goes on to say, "As the Father loved me." Now notice the connection they were making here in 9 and 10. "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." There's that word again. Jesus, talking to his apostles, says, "The Father loved me and loves me still. I have loved you and love you still," and we'll prove that love. No man, a man who loves his man, he will lay down his life for him, and he's getting ready to do that. "I have loved you. Abide in my love." In other words, you love me, love one another. In other words, you see the generations that began to transpire here. You see how it begins to work. The Father loves the Son loves the disciples are supposed to love one another and then go out and love others. So the idea is abiding means you're intimate. To love someone, it's an interesting scenario here. Then he goes on to say in verse 10, I'm going to come back to that in a moment. He goes on to say, "If you keep my..." Now here it kind of connects the love to the commandments. "If you love me, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." The abiding in the love is connected to words. It's connected to commandment keeping. It's not just an emotion, and that's how the world of our 21st century lives things. We look at love and we make it an emotional thing, and it's not just an emotional thing. Sometimes it goes against the affections and the desires to be with someone. It's the actual obedience, even when it's not comfortable, when it's not convenient. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." You say you love me? Then keep my commandments. Then John 15:14, we would read down a few more verses. It would say, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." What we're looking at here and what I'm driving at, obviously, is I say that I love God and I love Jesus Christ and I abide in him and I want to abide in him and I want him to abide in me so that whatever I ask, I'll receive. But now I begin to see the condition upon which that's made. If I truly love Jesus Christ, I will keep his commandments. If I call him my friend, I will do all that he says. You know, if I say I love you, send you candy and teddy bears and roses and balloons, and if I say I love you, all those gifts and all those things that I do are meaningless if I'm not really connected to you, if I don't really have a relationship with you. But it's not a fellowship and a friendship that's intimate. It means nothing. you receiving out of the blue some gift from me, and I have very little to do with you, and I have very little relationship with you, it becomes, you almost shrug, you go, what's this about? Is he stalking me or something? Who is this? If you love me, but if there's a relationship there, then the gifts mean something. And what that means is that what I give to you. And he says, if you're my friends, if you do whatever I command you. My favorite cartoon is Calvin and Hobbes. It's the only one that really makes me smile or laugh. All the rest of them, you go, this is comics. But when I look at that, I see true friends are hard to come by. Calvin had it right. His little buddy Hobbes. True friends are hard to come by, and they are. Why? Because there's a commitment there. There's something that you got to do for that individual or those people. To abide in them, you got to have a relationship with them. And that leads to more than just this. You know, in the old days of the Greek world, there was the Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. Plato taught Aristotle, ultimately Socrates. Socrates was the great teacher of Alexander the Great. At the age of about 12, Alexander was brought by his father Philip of Macedon to sit at the feet of Socrates, and he was there taught from this great philosopher. And he and many of the students of these great men memorized the great sayings of these great men, these great minds, these geniuses. But abiding in them, and my words abiding in you, I can memorize all the writings, I suppose, of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates, but I have no relationship to them. I have no connection to them. They are dead men, by the way. And so they mean nothing to me. Their sayings might motivate me in some small way, but I have no relationship with those teachers. And if I could sit and memorize all the sayings and the poems of great poets or writers before me, I have no relationship to them. Their words might inspire me. Their words might mean something as far as roses are red, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, and so are you. But that's no relationship that I have with Frost or Dickinson or any of these others. It's more than just that. It is a relationship with a living Lord. Jesus Christ is eternal life, and I want to know God, and I want to know His Son, Jesus Christ, so that I might have eternal life. I want to abide in Jesus Christ. Why? He's alive, and I have a relationship with Him. I have a fellowship with Him. Therefore, if I'm so intimately involved with Him, I know His commandments, I keep His commandments, I know His words, I listen to Him, I make Him my best friend, then and only then am I in a position to be able to ask whatever I will, and it'll be done for me. Let me say this. How am I going to do that? How am I going to abide in the words of Jesus Christ? I propose a 3M club. Would you like to join? I'm really going to start a 3M club in the next few weeks. Maybe at my house, somewhere. And anybody and everybody who wants to join my 3M club, there's going to be dues, no money. But 3 M's, these are your dues. We're going to start with some motivation. We need to motivate each other. And we need to be motivated by each other. John 15:11, we could have kept reading. It goes on to say, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Let me tell you something. As I think about abiding in Jesus Christ, He motivates me to do that when He says, if you abide in me, I'll make your joy full. I'll give you a joy that's beyond description. He went back and said in John 10 and verse 10, I have come that they may have life and that they might have it abundantly. The abundant life. The full joy life. And there's hundreds, if not thousands, of verses of words of Jesus Christ that should motivate us to want to abide in Him. Are you motivated? Are you motivated to get together and just look at words of Jesus Christ and be motivated to what the promise entails, what it offers. Meditation is my second M. When I think about meditation in Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how love I your law, it is my meditation all the day. Is it? To abide in God and to abide in Jesus Christ is so connected to the words that they gave us that it leads us not only to be motivated to hear and sit at the feet of the Master, but to meditate on what He has to say. To think about the implications, the inferences about what He's saying to me. Psalm 143, verse 5. I remember, I meditate, I muse. Those are interesting words. Muse, by the way, was one of the 9 daughters of the Greek god Zeus. And Menomene, who was the god of memory. And she married Zeus, and they had 9 daughters, and one of them was named Muse, and the word Muse means to sit and to think about. So I guess she just sat around and did this all day. I'm not sure what she did. But the idea is to remember, to meditate, and to muse on the works and the hands and the words of God. To be able to remember them, to recall them, to think about them, to meditate about them. As a gospel preacher, the Bible tells me that I'm to meditate, he says, to read these things, to give yourselves to them, to meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. And all of us as disciples of Jesus Christ want to know that our progress, we're moving forward. The way to do that is to be motivated and to meditate. And finally, here's where most of you will drop out of my club. To memorize. To memorize the words of Jesus Christ. I've lost most of you. Most of you say, I can't memorize. What's your phone number? What's your birthday? Kim, I know yours. What's your social security number? What's your children's birthdays? What's your cell number? What's your house number? You don't have a bad memory. You just have an untrained one. I have an untrained one. And my job is to memorize God's Word. I really don't have a lot of options here, actually. You know, when we think about memorization, it's interesting that Paul, talking to the Ephesian elders, said, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, and we can all quote this, it is what? More blessed to give than to receive. We all know that one. We usually say it around Christmas time. To remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He had said these years before, but now, and it wasn't in writing yet. Paul wrote before any of the Gospels were written. But the words had come down to them, and it says, Jesus had said, it is more blessed to give than receive, and he remembered those words. He memorized them. I think about in Jude, verse 17. Beloved, remember the words which were spoken for by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember those words? They hadn't been written yet, but they were to remember them. And the idea is to memorize the Scriptures. And they did that in the first century. But we seldom do it in the 21st century. And I would like to start a 3M club where together we get together and we motivate each other to meditate and to muse upon the words of Jesus Christ and then to memorize them. To take certain select passages of Scripture and just memorize them. To have them posted on our bathroom mirrors or on our dashboards in our car or upon our desk at work or the refrigerator or wherever it might be. And just spend time taking one passage of Scripture and memorize it. And have it embedded in our hearts to think about it. That which would then lead us to stay out of wrong. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, Thy word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. That word that we memorize could actually keep us out of sin, therefore save our soul. We ask children to memorize certain things, and yet we as adults often shy away from such things. We say, I've just got a bad memory, I'm not good at that, or whatever. Well, I think it's important that we do that. If you lived in any century beyond before the 20th century began, you'd have had to memorize. You'd have had no choice if you wanted to remember anything. But yet we've become lazy because we've got it all in books now, and we can just point the finger at it. But I'd like for you to think about me with me just a second as we close our lesson. Let me read the verse one more time. The three M's go to this. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Does that not motivate you? To be able to know the scriptures, to muse upon them, and they change your life to where you're abiding in Jesus Christ, you can bow your head and you'll know what to ask for. You'll know what to pray for because His words tell you what to pray for. And that's why you can receive what you ask for. He already wants to give it to you. We'll talk about that for a few minutes tonight. Thank you for your time this morning. Come back this evening. The song is Love Lifted Me. We sung about love. We talked about love. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, do whatever I say. Well, He has said, and His commandments are, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Jesus said that. Will you obey it? Will you abide in Him? Will you be raised to walk in Jesus Christ? To live for Him, to abide in Him, and then to receive all the promises that He has offered to you. You answer that now as together we stand while we sing.